now playing.
Hello, good people. I'm Diane Franklin, a.k.a. Princess Joanna, and you are listening to Movie Reviews in 20 Q's Podcast.
Holy shit, that was something different. Wow, we actually got one of the actresses from one of the movies on our podcast.
Amazing.
Oh, cheers, Diane Franklin. That was a great way to introduce our show. But let's segue into how we normally do. Hello, good people, and welcome to another very special edition of the podcast, Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. This week's film is the 80s, some might say classic, others on this podcast might not, film that is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And yeah, I mean, this is episode 83, and we're joined by one of 1983's best products, Stacey Hurley. How are you, Stacey?
Oh, I'm great, thanks, Sam. I'm super happy to be here.
Excellent, excellent. And because we are doing the 80s film, we've got to go and reach out to our favourite 80s queen of them all. It's Gidget Von LaRue. How are you, Gidget?
Dudes, it's awesome to be here, man.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, party on. Be excellent to each other. This is a cool movie. It's good fun. It had been a while since I watched it. I gave it a rewatch and just enjoyed it. Just sit back and just let it wash over you. It is good, good fun. And it's relevant too, because supposedly they're doing a third one now with a much older cast.
I don't know if I'm excited about a sequel, because, you know, we've seen what happens when Dumb and Dumber try and come back and do it. We've seen what happens when Anchorman tries to come back and do it.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. I'm really nervous.
Plus, Keanu Reeves is just John Wick now. So
yeah.
It's just going to be weird watching John Wick going, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, are they actually using the same cast?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, whoa.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves and the other one are coming back.
And old Alex Winter.
Alex Weiner? What's his last
Winter.
Name?
Winter.
What's his name? Who is he? I've got no idea.
Exactly, that guy.
Before we get into it a little bit more, we're just going to run through the plot of the film. So, Stacey Hurley, what is the plot of the movie Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure?
Bill and Ted are high school buddies starting a band. However, they're about to fail their history class, which means Ted would be sent to military school. They receive help from Rufus, a traveller from the future, where their band is the foundation for a perfect society. With the use of Rufus's time travel machine, Bill and Ted travel to various points in history, returning with important figures to help them complete their final history presentation.
I'd like to think that our podcast might one day create a perfect society.
Yeah.
It's destined to. It's destined.
Oh, absolutely.
To. Funny thing is, and I couldn't help but look it up, because his father actually threatens to send him to military school in Alaska. There are no military schools in Alaska. I was curious. I'm thinking, is there? And so, yeah, I actually Googled that. So there you go.
So that's just compounding how dumb these guys are. They're worried about being sent somewhere that doesn't exist. His father just thought, okay, military school's bad, and where's a really far away place that he won't want to go.
I think he's just going to chuck him on a plane to Anchorage in Alaska and just say, nah, see you, good luck. There's a school around here somewhere. Having a look at the scores for this movie, IMDb have it at 6.9 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes at 78%. Holy shit. I thought my eyes were deceiving me. But yeah, Gidget, what would you give this as a score out of 10,000 Wild Stallions?
Okay, I'll do it out of 10 because I can't work out math, as you know.
Yes.
So out of 10, I'd give it a 6, I would say. It's very hard to give it a higher score than that, because it is... It's a doofy movie, you know, but it's definitely good fun. So six and a half. There we go.
I just can't get this movie over 5,000.
Oh.
So it's 46. I don't know why, but
breaking
I
breaking my heart, is this?
Double number.
Don't
oh,
break
man.
My heart.
Just not really loving this.
I would have been 7 when this film came out, and I remember watching it so many times. I can't give it over 6.9 out of 10, and that's hilarious. IMDb, 69. So I'm gonna go there with you. I'm gonna go 69 out of 10, dudes.
Oh, that's a good score. We should have all done that.
Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We start with 10 that we all answer. We then go into 3 personal questions that we answer. We finish on the listener question, which we threw it out there to you, our dearest listeners, to answer for us. The one we always start with is the compliment sandwich, which is one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good about this film. And given that Stacey looks like she's going to have trouble coming up with something good, why don't you start us off, Stace?
Yeah, you're right, actually. You know what I love is Bill and Ted. They are lovable doofuses, but I love their naive kind of confidence. They're happy with their lives and themselves and what they're up to, and they don't give a shit that they're really clueless and probably will drop out of high school and not get a job. They don't care about that. And I just love that. They're terrible role models, but I think everyone needs a little bit more of that kind of naive confidence.
Hey, I turned out fine.
So you think.
The bad thing is, come on, props, dude. The umbrella framework on the top of the telephone box time traveling machine, it's an umbrella. Like, that's not going to take you anywhere. They could have come up with something a little bit better for their aerial.
Stacey. Yeah, because the science behind time travel is so specific. They really should have looked that up and gone, right, let's look at previous time traveling machines.
Exactly.
Hey, look, I'm just picking holes because it's something that really stood out to me and it bugged me when I was watching the movie.
We're 3 minutes into the podcast and we've already got the Stacey oblique tangent answer. I'm so happy about this. That's a record. You've never given it on the first one.
Later on, they fix it with bubble gum.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I feel that was a real 80s, maybe 90s phenomenon. Like, yeah, bubble gum just fixes things all over the place.
MacGyvering the shit out of it.
Yeah. And my final good thing is, at school, I didn't really like history at all. I didn't see that it was relevant. And it kind of makes history fun. It's like, let's just go around and visit these historical places and learn stuff. Man, I'd love it if history class was like that.
It'd make it a lot more interesting. What do you got, Gidge?
I just basically said it's a great 80s fun movie. It's simple as that. It just encapsulates the 80s. And, dude, it's just awesome. Bad. I really struggled to think of a really bad thing, but I would say Ted's father just had no depth of character. It's just like he was just the baddie. You know what I mean? There was no diversity in his character or anything like that. And the other good thing is the soundtrack's awesome. It's got like not necessarily totally well known songs, but really good music and a really good score and soundtrack to this movie. So that's really enjoyable. So that's my sandwich right there.
For me, yeah, the good thing is, like, I like the concept of it. Like, sure, it may be ripped off a little bit of, like, Back to the Future or something like that, but I just like the concept of, like, these two idiots plumbing their way through time and picking up all these random strangers and then bringing them back and seeing the sort of repercussions of what you'd do if you brought historic figures back to our time. It's simplicity, but it's also kind of got a little bit of intelligence to it. I don't know, I'm going on a limb here. I've probably alienated all our listeners.
The funny thing is, it's their lack of respect for history, you know, but they're just so casual about it. So I think there's something kind of amusing about that too.
It's totally whoosh. It's like over their heads. They've got no clue what they're not appreciating.
It's absolutely amazing. The bad thing, some of the jokes haven't aged all that well. Some of them are a bit like, okay. And my other good thing is I really liked the sets. I think they did a real good job of actually recreating these historic environments.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, it does feel like all around the world. So wherever they filmed it, I'm guessing they filmed it all in America, but like it looked like they were in that particular time.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. And that moves us on to question number two, which is a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of the amazing Phil Joynson, who for the princely sum of $5 a month gets to have his question in the first 10 questions. And what would he like to know, Stacey Hurley?
He would like to know, what item from this film would you want or definitely not want to be?
I would not want to be the phone booth, because let's break this down. All right, it would be stinky, right? First of all, if you're claustrophobic, it'd be a nightmare. It'd be stinky because most of those historical figures, they wouldn't wash regularly. And talk about BO.
Especially Genghis Khan. Fuck.
Oh, yeah, I know. Gross. But even Joan of Arc and stuff like that. Any of them. I mean, all that stuff wasn't readily available to them. The other thing is, when do they go to the toilet and stuff like that? So I would not want to be the phone booth, because that'd be a nightmare, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't want to be the mall mannequin who's just hanging out, chilling out, modelling some clothes, and then suddenly goddamn Genghis Khan picks up a baseball bat and beats the shliving shit out of me. Trying to live my best life and this crazy fucking Mongol just destroys me. Fuck that noise.
Like so many others. Yeah. Well, I want to be the bubble gum that saves the day. It puts the time
on the umbrella, on that umbrella.
On that damn umbrella. Thank God for the chewing gum, otherwise they would have been screwed.
So you want to be a substance that's been chewed up by like 10 different dudes, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, that was gross.
It actually is gross, and I'd forgotten about that scene, because they chew and then they put it all in their hands, so that's all the stuff going in each other's hands. But then when Keanu Reeves' character does it, he actually gets the wob of gum that's been in all their mouths and puts it to his mouth and puts the gum directly from his mouth onto it. And I'd forgotten all about that. And I'm like, oh, talk about committed to the role, because it's got all that spittle and
So you want to be that, Stacey?
Well, I wasn't thinking about that part of it. I was just thinking about saving the day.
The blob out of 10 dudes' mouths,
The crucial element that keeps the story going.
That's true. You would be a hero.
Yeah, you'd be a big spittle hero. Number three is, what deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film? Really?
Surprisingly, I actually have one. So there's a point at which they go back in time and then they give themselves like a little bit of advice, and that gets them on their little warrior's journey. And I actually thought about this. There was a time once when I was really young and I was like, if time travel is real, then I want my future self to come back and talk to my current self and just say, hey, everything is going to be fine, and then just disappear. And then I sort of looked around and I never appeared. So I was like, nope, they're never going to invent time travel while I'm alive. Because I kept saying to myself, I'm going to remember this time, this date, and I'm going to send myself back to that time. Oh, fuck, I'd completely forgotten about that time and date the next day. I wouldn't have a fucking clue. Even if they invented it tomorrow, I'd be like, I've got no idea where to go at that kid's age or how old I was. I think I was maybe 14 or 15. I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, so just go back to any age from like 15 onwards.
No, but I was mentally ready. Like if I showed up and me walked up to this kid, a 14-year-old me, I was like, hey man, I'm you from the future. That 14-year-old kid would beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, you were mentally ready to receive a future version of yourself.
And for about 2 minutes, 14-year-old me would not want to accept the fact that I am me now. I think he'd be so disappointed.
Aww, like,
what do you mean I'm not 6'4" with long flowing dreadlocks and lead singer of a band and captain of the All Blacks?
They can't see me, but I can actually see Sam and Stacey. And Stacey's face just then was just like, oh, but I love you, darling.
What's your deep philosophical debate, Stacey Hurley?
Well, it's not deep. It's not that philosophical. I just want to know, how did this movie get made? I'm not loving it. And I'm like, come on, would this get made now? But then I look around and I'm like, yeah, there's lots of crap teen kind of high school movies.
I'm not going to sit here and take this shit. Taking you back to ancient Greece and letting you hang out with Socrates.
Socrates.
Don't get me wrong, when I was young, I did love this movie and I watched it, but I just don't love it now.
Yeah, okay.
To me, any time travel movie or show, one could go into deep discussion about how many faults are in it, and probably best not to read too deeply into it. You've just got to sit back and just go, okay, it's a movie, it's good fun. So I wouldn't get too deep philosophical into it. Because then I start freaking out. Then I'm thinking, when would I want to go back in time? And I'm thinking, you can get too deep into thought about it, but really the best thing to do would be go back a week and just know all the lotto numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Or just Biff Tannen it and take back a bloody sports almanac.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. That was so spot on. That was a really clever thing to do, and I think most of us would do that. Because I think the one thing that you'd want, because I read too much into it, I'm like, oh, I'd go back to Roman times or Egypt or whatever that and bring back all those treasures, all that gold and all that. And then Colonel looked at me, my partner, and said, just go back a couple of days and know the Powerball numbers. Why would you bother trying to bring all that stuff back? Because you're going to have to try and sell it anyway. Just win $50 million. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so question number four. Which two characters would you like to take with you on a crazy night out?
It's got to be Beethoven for the music.
Yep.
And Napoleon, because, man, he just seems to want to have a good time.
That dude knows how to party, man.
And he likes his ice cream.
He's into the ice cream. And I was actually thinking, if this was a pool party, like, you know, he'd be right in there. He'd love it.
Yeah.
Be pushing all the little kids out of the way.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting too? The actor that played Napoleon Bonaparte is an actor called Terry Gamilieri. He's actually Australian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's an Aussie dude playing a French dude.
I always love that. That's fascinating.
Well, I agree with you, Stacey. I take Beethoven for the music.
Yeah.
I'm a big classical music fan, so I would just be in awe. And I think Billy the Kid would know how to party. He seems like fun. Billy the Kid, and he's kind of cute too, so there's that factor. So you'd have to get him to leave his guns at the door, because otherwise you'd probably end up getting shot. But all during the movie, he seems like the most fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does.
Yeah. I think he's having more fun than Bill and Ted, actually. So,
yeah. He's like, yay, all these new places. This is great.
Yeah. Yep.
I reckon Bill and Ted would be the two worst people to take with you on a crazy night out, to be honest. They're morons. So I was with you, man. I was like, Billy the Kid would be the tits. He's like, he knows how to have a good time. He knows how to throw down a party and get on the piss and shit. And Joan of Arc, fuck it. She knows how to dance.
And work out and do exercise. So
I think Rufus would be another good pick too, because he's just fucking George Carlin. And George Carlin's just cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that takes us to question five. But this is a Patreon question.
Yeah, so this question comes courtesy of Dave Baker, our latest Patreon. Dave also has his own Patreon. On it, he posts a cornucopia of creative content. These range from pro samples to curated YouTube recommendations, because hashtag beat the algorithm, from YouTube video essays to written essays on Medium. He's just getting started, but plans to do a lot more. His link is patreon.com/yourfavorite, and that's favorite without a U for all the, you know, normal spelling English people out there.
Non-American English.
So what would Dave like to know, Stacey Hurley?
He would like to know, what character would have an awesome social media presence and on what platform?
Princess Joanna, played by Diane Franklin, definitely. She would have an awesome Instagram account. Selfie City, I reckon. Her and her bestie, who I don't think has one line in the movie. I can't remember her talking her bestie.
No.
Her bestie's absolutely, you know, a total Kardashian. So they would have just the coolest, you know, all around the castle, with the ugly dudes, you know, taking selfies and doing the trout pout and all that sort of thing. So, yep. Princess Joanna's my pick.
Good answer. I'm going to go with Ted Theodore Logan, a.k.a. Keanu Reeves. I reckon he'd have a YouTube channel where it's just him just doing stupid pranks or dares or, you know, like Jackass-style shit.
Yes. Yes. I can totally see that. Yeah.
It'd be, like, viral funny for being a moron but not realizing why he's funny. It'd be like sort of oblivious to the fact how sort of stupid he is. I'll go with that.
Definitely. Well, I'm going with Joan of Arc. She would have an awesome aerobics YouTube channel. She'd be a star in Lycra, an absolute warrior for a woman. Right, that takes us to question six.
Question six is also a Patreon question courtesy of the amazing Emily Higgins, who runs the Tasteless podcast. So what is it, Gidge?
Okay, number six is, what film would be the best or worst to watch as a double feature with this film?
Keanu Reeves' other time travel movie, The Lake House.
Ooh.
It is fucking terrible.
Oh, I quite liked that.
You what? What is wrong?
At the time, I don't know if I'd like it now.
For those of you that don't know the plot of The Lake House, it's basically Keanu and Sandra Bullock sort of fall in love, and then they write letters to each other or some shit and emails, or I don't know, something like that.
They live in the same house.
Live in the same house.
At different time.
They're like 4 years apart. And that's the twist, eh?
I want to watch it now, so I will be the judge. All right, so we've got Sam hates it. Stacey enjoyed it. I will be the judge, so I will watch it this weekend, I promise.
Tell us what you think.
Emily Higgins would give it like 20 thumbs up. I can imagine she would be totally into The Lake House.
So when I was young, I just cannot think about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure without thinking of Wayne's World. I know it came out a few years later, but two doofuses who are mates, who are in a band, who have weird and wild adventures, they're just that's synonymous in my mind. I can't think of one without thinking of the other.
Good pick.
Yep. The worst would be Gary Oldman in Immortal Beloved, because he plays Beethoven, and that's a pretty depressing movie. So it'd bring you down off that Bill and Ted high for sure.
Yeah,
but it's got Beethoven, so good movie.
Nice.
Or the St. Bernard dog movie, Beethoven.
That dog might have more intelligence than Bill and Ted.
I think it does. St. Bernards are very bright, so yes.
True. Moves us on to question number seven. Which character from the film just clearly needs to get laid?
Oh, I reckon it's Bill. I don't know why. Just as...
because he's got a hot mum swan around that's his stepmum that used to be a senior when he was a freshman or some shit.
Yeah.
I said Ted's dad, because he's ferocious and he just needs to relax. He so needs to get laid.
Yeah. It was a toss-up between him and their teacher that set them the bloody fucking project to do. The one that was like, you guys
from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. But the one he was just like, you guys are going to fail and rah, rah, you guys are useless. I reckon he needs to get laid. I reckon he needs to blow some steam. Especially because, shit, isn't it like... Bill's mum or whatever is like, oh, tell him I say hello. And then she's like swanning around him at the end there like, oh, hi. I was like, what the hell subplot was that, man?
Yeah. She's like sat next to him like they'd had something between the two of them.
Mm. Exactly.
Mm, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, say no more.
On that note, that takes us to question number eight. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage into this movie?
I'd have to make him Abraham Lincoln. He I reckon, put the... black top hat on him and that weird beard where you never, you don't have a moustache. I find that so strange when people have beards without moustaches. It's always weird. But do that to Nick Cage, and I should get Colonel to Photoshop that, actually. Him as Abraham Lincoln. Because he's tall as well, tall and kind of lanky a bit. So, yeah. AB Baby, that's who I would make Nicolas Cage.
I'm going to create a new character. I'm going to create one that they go back in time to pick up and then they realise, nah, fuck this guy. I want Nicolas Cage to play Rasputin.
Who is Rasputin?
Rasputin was one of the most universally hated figures in sort of like Russian history.
Yeah, he was just like unkillable. But it was during the Rising and the entire royal family were murdered, and there was always the rumours that one of the youngest daughters, Anastasia, actually managed to escape. One of the princess Anastasias escaped. But that's now been proven. And she didn't, and that's just a fable. And because some woman came out much later and said, you know, I'm her. It's like, no, you're not. but Rasputin was their very creepy, weird-looking advisor.
Yeah.
I suppose now you call him a mystic man or something like that.
I think he called himself a priest or something, but he was just this really creepy, weird dude who had like long hair, looked sort of really disheveled and hermited. And like they tried to poison him and then they ended up shooting him 3 times and then dumped him back at his house and made him look like somebody broken and shot him. Like they just hated him. Why not? Nicolas Cage, that'd be great.
So would he be a character where they turn up back there and they look, they take one look at him and go, oh no, we're not taking you back.
Look at that.
Oh, Jesus.
Look at that.
He is creepy, man.
Yep. Nick Cage.
I'm giving him quite a main role for me. I think he'd be a good Rufus.
Shit.
Just chuck some sunnies on him and he could guide the guys through history.
You win. That's a very, very, very good answer.
Yeah, Nick Cage would be good at that.
He could play anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, he could have been all the characters in Steel Magnolias. Let's just be honest here.
Oh, I like that. Would pay a lot to see that movie.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all? Yeah. Wouldn't we all?
And that moves on to the final of our Patreon questions, which comes courtesy of Julio of the Contrarians podcast. Another awesome podcast you guys should check out, in which they rage against the Rotten Tomatoes machine. It's an awesome. I tune in every week. But yeah. Julio would like to know what there, Gidget?
What is your most controversial opinion about this film?
I feel like I'm going to incur the entire wrath of the internet, but I feel like Alex Winter probably should have had Keanu Reeves' career, because I feel like Alex Winter maybe has a bit more acting chops than Keanu, and I feel like maybe Keanu's sort of gone on to bumble his way through a couple of roles in which he plays a dumb-headed doofus, you know, like Speed and The Matrix and stuff like that, but the rest of his movies are pretty shit, so yeah.
I know what it is, and it comes down to something so materialistic, it's a looks thing.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that.
And Keanu is tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah.
And, like, don't get me wrong, Keanu is awesome. The amount of money he raises for charity and, you know, just, like, he's not a Hollywood star at all. Like, he's real sort of, like, approachable and friendly and shit like that. Like, I saw recently some plane bloody had to land 2 hours from Los Angeles. A flight between San Francisco and Los Angeles had to land 2 hours out, and Keanu was actually on that flight. So he paid for everyone to get a shuttle bus and then told everyone stories about, you know, like, his movies and all this other shit for 2 hours. Wow. And posed with photos and took them all out for lunch and all this other shit. Like, don't get me wrong, Keanu Reeves is awesome. I just feel like Alex Winter maybe got a little bit shortchanged.
It is one of those things, but you can look at all those people that were really big in the 80s and you think, what happened to them?
Yeah.
They were such a good actor. And I feel a bit that way with like someone like Deborah Winger. She had an incredible career. She was a very excellent natural actress, but supposedly she was very difficult on set. So she was in some great movies and she got a lot of accolades, and then suddenly, woof, she was gone. And that can be a thing as well. Maybe the people are difficult to work with. Because Keanu just seems, as you said, he is so grounded. He is such a nice guy and he's so grounded. Not only that, he doesn't age.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Paul Rudd do not age.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
And like Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts, like I don't know what sort of small vampire cult they're all in, but Jesus Christ.
It's called the plastic surgery cult. I can tell you that right now.
I saw on Instagram a photo of Paul Rudd. Do you know how old he is?
He's 50, isn't he?
Yeah,
it's his birthday this week. 50. He looks the same. I just can't believe it. Amazing.
Yeah. You know what? And I think there's a pattern in this, because it's not like they're health nuts or anything like that, right? Keanu's smoked for most of his life. It is being laid back. It is being relaxed, laid back. Don't try not to stress about stuff. It's not worth it. Most stuff is not worth freaking out over. And they both seem like that type of person. And I think the thing that ages you the most is worrying about stuff, stressing out, freaking out, all that sort of stuff. So I reckon just, if everyone's just cool and laid back, man, you're going to age well. Okay, dudes?
Okay, maybe I need to start doing that. Yeah. I think I've already said it. Is this film crap?
It is a very much a generation type of movie. So you feel that fondness for it when you're younger. You can grow out of that, or you can just go, no, this just takes me back to my childhood. But my issue regarding it is, you know, where did they all go to the toilet? Also, Bill and Ted, they got no sleep. I don't think any of them ate. And I just want to know what drugs they were all on. That was definitely a 48-hour period.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I also found it really strange too that time keeps going, but their clock keeps going, you know what I mean? Like they have to go back to a certain time. Because I said to Stacey, I was like, they could just go back to 5 minutes before the presentation over and over and over again. Like they don't need to go back to that exact time. And like they even show up and say hello to themselves. And I think Rufus tries to explain it, but it's like, that doesn't make any sense.
So they don't need to be limited to the 48-hour window or whatever it is.
Exactly.
They could take as long as they like to do this project.
They could cruise off to Hawaii in 1950 and just sit on a beach for a month and then come back.
Exactly.
Why didn't they?
I don't know.
Such a good idea.
I bet this is the problem with time travel movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. They've got more holes than Swiss cheese.
That's true.
So you can't overanalyze it because the three of us, we're all smart. We'd all go to Hawaii and lie on a beach. But they're doofuses and it's a time travel movie. So.
Yeah. And that moves us on to question number 10, which is what's quickly become one of our fan favourite questions. What quote from this film would be the worst thing to hear straight after you finish having sex?
Okay, my quote is something they say in the movie that's quite bizarre. All we are is dust in the wind, dude. What? Be like, who are you? That's what, if someone was saying that to me. Okay.
I think the worst thing you'd want to hear from this movie after having sex is either, how's it going, Royal Ugly Dudes? or way to go, Egghead.
Both awesome.
Oh, way to go, Egghead.
I had a couple that I actually thought you were going to pick up one of them, put them in the Iron Maiden. Now, I don't know exactly what they're talking about going in the Iron Maiden, but if somebody looks at them straight after finish having sex and saying, put them in the Iron Maiden, I'd be like, what, my balls?
A mini Iron Maiden.
And that takes us on to our personal questions. Stacey, you're first up with your three questions that you ask of us.
Righto. Question 11. What exactly was the brief of this school project and how the hell did they meet it? They just seemed to be doing random shit the whole time.
At the end of the day, it was a project about history. They had to do a history talk and they met it pretty awesomely. I think they did. They certainly did the most entertaining history presentation. Although they were late, so they shouldn't have let them on stage. But anyway, waving hands, and I think they reached that goal. The only thing that confused me is, did the audience believe they were the actual characters or not? Or did they just think they just got a bunch of actors to dress up? And the other thing is, a couple of the acts, like, you know, Napoleon's routine with the whole battle strategy on the table, that'd be pretty dull to watch from an audience member. So did they completely nail it? In the movie they did, but would the entire performance be entertaining? Not necessarily.
I just love that the entire school has shown up to see one class's presentation.
It's like it's not a concert. It's not a musical or whatever. It's just a bunch of kids from one class presenting rather boring speeches. And it's the entire school sitting there watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it was detention for everybody.
Or torture.
I mean, that's my answer. Stuff knows what the project was, but they probably failed. Sure, they won the audience award, but they probably didn't get a fucking pass.
Okay, question 12. Which of these two do you reckon could actually hold down a job?
Bill seems more alert and aware than Ted. Ted's a total doofus. Bill's just a little bit more on point and Ted's the real sort of, you know, cloud donkey.
I could imagine Ted as like either a yoga instructor or a crash test dummy.
Oh, nice. Good answers, guys. Okay, question 13. what period in history would you two most like to visit?
Oh, this one is very easy for me. I'd like to go back to 70s Hollywood so I could watch some of these classic, awesome 70s Hollywood films get made. But instead of a sports almanac, I'm going to go back to 70s Hollywood and I'm going to have a script for Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm going to have a script for E.T. I'm going to have a script for Empire Strikes
nice.
Back. I'm going to have a script for Return of the Jedi. I'm going to Back to the Future. All of these films that absolutely made the 80s, I'm going to go back. I'm going to become Samuel Spielbergo.
You would be like the biggest producer in Hollywood.
Shit, yes. I would, man. It would be hard to get away from New Zealand in the 70s, though, given that we hadn't even had planes or anything or ships or...
You have watched Anthony Hopkins in The World's Fastest Indian, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm just taking
the
piss.
Yeah, he managed to do it with that car. He managed to get over to America. So if Anthony Hopkins can do it in The World's Fastest Indian, you can do it too, Sam.
Yeah, that almost bankrupted the country, but yeah, sure.
And Gidget, what period in history would you like to most go back to?
I'm torn. So one of them would be, and it's one of my favourite movies, one of my favourite composers is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. I'd love to go back and be in the audience for one of his operas before he started falling apart. I want to go back and see him perform his Symphony No. 25 in G minor.
Oh, nice.
That's how specific I'm being.
Wow, that is impressive. That's very
Thank
specific.
You. I'd love to go back to the Roman times. Just check that out. Just hang around. Just see what's happening. I'd like to go back to prehistoric times. Way back to early man, I'd like to know where the missing link is. I'd like to be just at that process of evolution and see what happens and take a video camera and just film it all. I'd probably get killed by a spear or something like that. But anyway, and I think the really big one would be I'd like to go back to 1922 and I'd like to be with Howard Carter in the Valley of the Kings to discover Tutankhamun's tomb.
Holy shit.
That would just blow my mind.
I'm just imagining the prehistoric one and suddenly we just get all these cave paintings of Gidget all around the world get discovered. Yeah.
The black and white photo that I use on Twitter. And then suddenly on the walls with all the mammoth paintings. Yeah.
Cool, and that moves us on to my set of questions. So in the film, these guys come back with Napoleon first accidentally and they sort of drop him off with Ted's brother and like, hey, here you go, take care of one of the biggest... I don't know, general emperors in history, one of the most bloodthirsty men you could ever imagine. Here you go. So they take him to an ice cream bar and let him have a sundae. They take him bowling, at which point they just ditch him, and then Napoleon possibly just sleeps in a bush somewhere and then wakes up the next day and goes to a water park. But I want to know from you guys, what would you guys do if your sibling popped up right now if Napoleon was like, hey, take care of him, I'm going to be gone for the next 24 hours.
Well, I was just imagining as my younger self, like, you don't know who this guy is. He's just some old dude and you're like, oh my god, I can't believe you've asked me to look after this guy. So I just drop him off at the movies and say, right, see you later, enjoy, here's some popcorn, off you go.
Very similar to Stacey, actually. I would actually take him to see some arty French films the local arty cinema. And then I'd bring him home and I would just give him heaps of wine, heaps of bread with tons of butter on it and packets of cigarettes and, you know, vive la France. I would just we would just have a very Frenchy type of time and he'd be very, very at home and at ease.
Yes, make him feel very at home.
So if I'm me, what number am I thinking of?
69, dude.
Correct.
I actually said 1 million, as that's the amount of listeners us podcasters want.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. And finally, oh, this is the question that I can't help but want to know from you guys. What the hell does Missy, Bill's stepmom, see in Bill's dad? I mean, legit. Like, she's a hot young thing, and Bill's dad honestly looks like...
He's a crusty old dude.
Your local office accountant or something like that. He's just not...
First of all, she knows that the guy she's married to, his son has got hot friends. So she can sort of link up and flirt and be all flirty and show off her cleavage and all that to them. I think she enjoys that. And maybe she's just into older, protective, well-off gentlemen.
Mm. Yeah.
That might be her deal. Just like a lot of older blokes are into much, much younger women and stuff like that, she might just like that sort of scientist-looking type of dude.
Fair enough.
That's where my answer comes in. I think it's something to do with just money or being provided for, you know, having that older guy to, like, look after after her so she can just be a full-time stepmom. I don't know.
I'm sure
she doesn't have a job, I don't think,
no.
Because she's either gardening or she's picking up Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Or, you know, she's rocking up at their school. Although, you know, both their fathers show up as well, I suppose. So obviously no one's got a job in this movie.
No.
I'm sure Sigmund Freud would have had an opinion on it, but yeah.
Yes.
And that takes us on to Gidget's questions.
Okay, so it's my question time. All right, so number 17, what rock song would be a good theme for Joan of Arc?
Joan of Arc is very young and got burnt at the stake under the sort of auspices that she was a witch, so I'm going to go with Jimi Hendrix's Voodoo Child.
Oh, nice.
Beat that, nice. Stacey Hurley.
I think it's going to be Physical.
Oh, nice. Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
Ah, good work. Good work.
I would actually go for some Akadaka Back in Black.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a great answer.
All right, number 18. Should Bill nail his stepmom? Not like they're blood relatives or anything.
I mean,
cross the line, guys. Just cross it. Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's not illegal, but at the same time, it's also not illegal for me to eat one of my gym socks after I've been exercising for about 2 hours. You know, it's not illegal, but it's still gross. So I'm going to go with no.
I'm just going with sure. Why not, dude?
Like, yeah. Yep, same.
Yeah, yep. Whatever.
I mean, she's probably closer to his age than she is to the man she's married to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if Bill started going out with her mum and then Bill would become his own grandfather. Is that how it works?
I'm sure that sort of stuff happens. I'm sure it happens.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah. That's just weird. We'll move on quickly from that one.
Yes.
I don't know why I asked that one. That's just weird. So 19, what era from any of the historic figures, including early man, would you go back and live in for a year?
As long as I've got guaranteed safety, I'd like to go back to biblical times and just see what was really going on with Jesus.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have a caveat. You're completely safe. You're not going to be killed. You're not going to be attacked. You're not going to be slaughtered or harmed or anything else like that. With that in mind, yeah. I must admit, yeah, I'd be curious too.
Yeah, I mean,
see what the big deal's about.
Even still, like, if you have that caveat, if you're not going to be harmed, killed or died, then I'd like to go back to 1940 Germany and just storm through the battlefields and shoot every fucking person I could.
and end
the war, for, like, kill Hitler. Mm. Come on, think about it. Imagine if I ended World War II 4 years early. I'd be a superhero.
You'd kind of have to go back there around sort of the late 30s.
True, yeah.
If you go back even earlier, be a prison guard and kill him in his cell. Yeah. That would be the easiest thing to do.
There we go, 1930 Germany. Yeah, done.
Yeah, he's in the middle of him writing Mein Kampf, you just go, stab him through the throat. Do a Game of Thrones on that bastard.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
Yeah.
I don't know what year this is, but we went to Europe a couple of years ago, and during our tour of the Colosseum, one of the most captivating stories that the tour guide told us was when they had a period of time where they had gladiatorial battles and they had lots of various different events that they held in the Colosseum. But at one point in particular, they actually had sea battles where they had water in the Colosseum, they had ships, and they actually had whales and sea life shipped in to the Colosseum.
And no way.
The tour guide just writes it off with, oh, yeah, but that only didn't last very long because it was quite expensive to produce. No shit.
Not only that, I would think, you'd need waterproofing, wouldn't you? All the water would just, like, flow out of the stadium. That is a freak. So I'm going to have to Google that now.
Yes, Google
that
it.
Because that is some crazy stuff.
I know.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
I'll come back with you, Stacey.
Yeah, yeah. It would just...
All right, Sam, I'll come back with you and let's check out this Jesus chap. And then, Stacey, I'll come back with you and we'll check out the whales and the sea life in the auditorium.
Yeah.
Colosseum, sorry.
And that takes us down to the final question, question number 20, which is the listener question, which we threw out there to you guys for your answers, which we'll get to soon. First of all, we're going to answer it. What is the best time travel movie of all time?
Got to be Back to the Future.
You got any other faves?
Yes, what's that one?
Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future
3. No. I don't do sequels. It's the first one or nothing. What's that one we watched?
Sam's face just then when Stacey just said that was just gold. I should have been recording their video so I could turn that into a GIF. And just every time anyone just goes, what the fuck? I'm just going to show Sam's reaction to, I don't do sequels.
I don't do sequels. So that's why you hate Marvel movies so much, because it's like the 100th sequel of...
Exactly. This is no surprise. You knew this about me when we first met.
Stacey, let me get this right. You know that Aliens... is a sequel to Alien, right?
She's only just seen Alien.
What?
Yeah, Aliens is tonight's viewing.
Oh my God.
Yes. She hasn't seen The Terminator. She hasn't seen Terminator 2.
What are you doing? Sam, you're breeding with this woman.
I know.
What are you doing?
It's been fun. It's been a fun little endeavour getting her to watch these films, but yeah.
Oh, I bet.
So what's yours, Gidge?
So boring. Back to the Future. Has to be.
Oh, birds of a feather, you two. Eh?
Yes.
Yep. It's got to be. We haven't podcasted it yet because we're waiting for it to be a real special event because it's such a big movie. And not only that, every other podcast has podcasted Back to the Future. So if we can't bring something new to it, which we really want to do, so we've got to put a lot of thought into it. So it'll be later in the year, but we definitely will be podcasting it. But it's a classic 80s movie.
It is. What about you, Sam?
I'm going to have to go with Terminator 2. I love The Terminator. Love it, love it, love it. That's like a 9 out of 10 movie for me, but Terminator 2 is like a 9.2, 9.4, 6,
really?
8. Yeah, it's just, there's something about it. I just love it.
You prefer a more kick-ass Sarah Connor rather than waitress Sarah Connor.
Yeah, that's it. And, like, Arnie is a hero, you know what I mean? But John Connor's a whiny little bitch, but the rest of the movie is just fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, it is. Look, I wouldn't be able to choose between Terminator and Terminator 2. My dad took me to see The Terminator. It was kind of groundbreaking in a lot of ways, that first movie. So that was always pip at the post. I think The Terminator for me is a 10 out of 10. Terminator 2 is a 9.5 out of 10.
Nice. A favourite piece of trivia about that original Terminator was that O.J. Simpson was originally considered for the role of the Terminator, but they sort of tested the idea and just thought no one would take him seriously as a murderer.
Funny that, isn't it? Yeah.
And that moves us over to you guys, all you wonderful people out there that gave us some answers. We're just going to go through them pretty quickly and try to do as many as we can. Paul from the Countdown podcast and Daniel from the IMDb Journey podcast both had the same answers, which was Back to the Futures and Terminators. I mean, yeah, we've already mentioned them. How can you argue with that? I used to watch this podcast, said has to be Back to the Future, but is nobody going to say The Lake House with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock?
Stacey is.
Yeah, why not?
Yes, we have. Joanne said Donnie Darko and Looper. Absolutely great picks. Gillian Ashton, she also went with Terminator. Until they completely aborted the timeline, but the first two are perfect. In fact, none of the other movies exist because I've terminated them. Good on you, Gillian. The Cinema Guys went with 12 Monkeys, Edge of Tomorrow and Looper. Real good picks.
Nice.
Tara Maholik went with Time Cop. Yeah, a bit of JCVD. And Groundhog Day. Oh, I love Groundhog Day. Damn it.
I haven't seen it, but we're going to watch that and review it soon.
Oh, yeah. Flippin' love Groundhog Day. Good old Nick McAllister. He went with Primer, which is another sort of small budget indie film, which was going to be my deep cut if no one mentioned it. And speaking about that, the Recasting Couch also went with Primer. So there we go. Recasting Couch podcast also mentioned Back to the Future, obviously. And tied for second is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Looper. Good on you, Recasting Couch. Emily Higgins, well, we knew she was going to come in with something weird, and she's gone with The Last Sharknado. It's about time. She said it was honestly good. I don't know if I believe you on that one, Emily. She shared a little video, which you guys can find on our Twitter page. It's flipping hilarious. Renegade went with Groundhog Day, Army of Darkness, and Edge of Tomorrow. Oh, Army of Darkness is a great pick too.
Oh, I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's great.
Damn.
Ryan Altieri, Back to the Future, Butterfly Effect, and X-Men Days of Future Past. I loved X-Men Days of Future Past. Easily my favourite X-Men movie. After Logan. Aubrey McKay, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Wouldn't know, never seen Harry Potter, never will. Edge of Tomorrow and Looper.
Never will.
Wait, what?
That is a challenge,
You've
right?
You've never
there.
Seen one Harry Potter movie?
No, never. I probably will watch them when a kid is born and grows up to that age, but no.
That's not a bad idea, actually. That's so the two of you can experience them together.
Exactly. A couple more to round it out. Good old Colby Mack at Colby Told Me. He went with a very deep cut, Josh Kirby, Time Warrior. Epic franchise. Never seen it, mate. Not familiar with that one at all. Kelly went with Time Bandits. Oh, yeah, I love good Terry Gilliam. That's a good one. And Paul went with Time Cop. Movie Geek and Proud went with X-Men Days of Future Past. Recon Cinemation Podcast went with Army of Darkness. Ah, oh, good on you. Runner-up with Groundhog Day. Contrarians went with Midnight in Paris, if it counts. Yeah, mate, it does. Totally does. Brian McCree went a little bit off kilter and actually added a couple of ones that no one else had put up. And he went with The Visitors from 1993. Time Crimes, great Spanish film. I love. Frequently asked questions about time travel and safety not guaranteed. Love not safety, safety not guaranteed. That's a real good one.
Yeah.
Will Tweet Space also went with Time Crimes. Justin Ballard, Back to the Future, hands down. $10,000 a day, Somewhere in Time. And then this one kind of annoyed me because I haven't actually seen it, but Orange Donut went with a lot of awesome ones already mentioned, but I thought Peggy Sue Got Married was brilliant. For no other reason than ha-hing at Jim Carrey and Nicolas Cage in a quartet.
And they're wearing like metallic gold jackets or something. Like, Tuxedo. Oh, my God.
Have you seen it? Is that an 80s movie, Peggy Sue Got Married?
I think it's just out of the 80s scope, if I remember rightly, but I have seen it, but I haven't rewatched it.
Because his hair looks a lot more fuller than it did when we watched Vampire's Kiss.
It looks like...
Oh, yeah, definitely. He was balding in Moonstruck.
Yeah. And finally, from the Jedi Dropout production, it has to be Groundhog Day, a movie that can make you geek out, laugh your ass off, and cry like a baby at the same time. Fuck. What a movie. agreed. That takes us down to the end. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, but I'd like to especially thank Gidget for joining us. Gidget, why don't you tell them all about your podcast, how fucking awesome it is, your very special guest you've got coming up to talk more about Bill and Ted, everything like that. Go on, unleash.
Yes, well, the very special guest, and this is super exciting, it's Sam from Movie Reviews in 20 Qs. Yay!
Oh, I've heard of him. He's a fucking legend, man.
Oh, he's great. He's a really good dude. But yes, so I am part co-host of the Retro Cinema podcast with Angry Man, who is away on vacation at the moment. That's why Sam is coming over to help me out.
Yes.
So we can be found on every single listening podcast platform. So just type in the Retro Cinema podcast. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram, where Colonel Kickhead does the most awesome 80s movie GIFs, animated GIFs. So you can find them all on our Retro Cinema Instagram account. So check that out. And our catchline is, we podcast 80s movies we watched back then and that we still love now. And trust me, there's a couple that we've gone, nah. I'm just not going to say which ones.
And oh, another massive thank you for getting us Diane to record that little bit at the start.
Ah, you're so what? She's so sweet. So she did a recording for us when you're on with me on the Retro Cinema podcast, and she did one doing a promo for you guys as well. So it's awesome. So thank you, Diane Franklin, for doing that. We love you.
Yeah, totally.
Yes,
totally.
Thank you so much.
And that takes us down the end. If you'd like to get in contact with us, the easiest way to get a hold of us is on Twitter at Movie Reviews In. We also have a Facebook page, which is Movie Reviews In 20 Qs. Or you can send us an email at miritqs@gmail.com. We currently have a promotion going. We have a giveaway, which is 2 tickets to the premiere for the movie Same But Different. That was we interviewed the sort of filmmakers on that a little while ago. And yeah, we managed to get 2 tickets to the premiere. So if you would like to enter into the competition to win tickets to the premiere, you have to be in Auckland on May 4th. I think it starts at like 6 o'clock or something like that. Walk the red carpet, get to shake hands with New Zealand celebrities. So who knows, there might be Shrek the Sheep or someone. Who's New Zealand? Who's a famous New Zealander?
Rachel Hunter.
Yeah, she might be there. Taika Waititi might be there. Peter Jackson might be.
Sam Neill.
Yeah. Sam Hurley will probably be there. Yeah. He's pretty cool.
Oh, that's super famous. There's no chance he'll be there.
Yeah.
He's too busy being a producer of E.T. and Empire Strikes Back.
True, yeah. But no, we'll be there. We, you know, because we're such a big deal, I think we've got sort of like front row seats or something like that, don't we? Oh, lost Stacey. No, like answering a question or anything like that. Just email us at miritqs@gmail.com and say, I'd like to win the tickets. And we'll see what we can do. Anywho, that is thanks from me.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.